What you can hear are the voices and instruments of two contemporary sound healers. This program will give an insight into their methods and beliefs. First, you'll hear from Narayani Gibara from the College of Sound Healing, and then from Rachel Burnett, who practices sound therapy from her shop, Colour of Sound, in Glastonbury, Somerset.
Well, mostly I tend to use the voice by toning. So like long vowel sounds like an oo tone. And basically, when my tone comes in towards the person's body, if there is any energy blockage, which could relate to tension or an old injury, it could be emotional or physical, then the voice wavers, it kind of breaks up, makes an woo 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 kind of sound. And what's interesting is both the healer and the recipient can be aware of that. The recipient may be aware of the tension where the sound is directed at in their own body, and maybe only when the voice moves away from that spot does it then settle. It's almost like something needs to build up before it can soften down again. When they receive this, just the toning, just a sound bath of a, like a tonal wash over them, people report all sorts of things, like, you know, they feel like they've died and gone to heaven, or, you know, they've just been bathed in sound and it feels very, very safe and beautiful.
Approach and different instruments. I work with lots of different instruments. I personally would have a person laid on the floor somewhere comfortable, because when, particularly with crystal singing bowls and Tibetan bowls that you play on the floor anyway, they can feel, literally feel the vibration. I'd often start off with something called a Balinese bell that has a very clear, pure sound to it. And it's used traditionally in Bali for space clearing, clearing people's energies. And it's this pure, clear cutting noise that kind of, in a way, shatters any negative energy or anything that's not good for them.
Well, in Bali, Bali has this kind of meld between Buddhism and Hinduism, and it has this massive space clearing tradition. In fact, they have, like, they close the whole island down one day to space clear the whole of Bali. In a way, it's a bit like Shintoism, where it's offering to their own personal gods or their ancestors, but it's also melded because of its location with Buddhism and Hinduism. So it's quite a unique kind of religion. But they're space clearing the island. You know, they say that negative forces, energies accumulate, particularly around corners in buildings. If someone died, something negative's happened, then they have to space clear them. But you can also play them as well, like a bowl. So again, all these things you were doing with the bowls on the floor, or holding in the hands and moving around the person when the person's laid down, and kind of building these sounds and creating these sounds. In sound therapy, at the end of the session, just before the grounding or just after the grounding, you kind of go around the person just to kind of empty that kind of gentle. It often makes people smile. In my opinion, one of the most important parts of any sound therapy is the intention. So keeping the mind focused is really important, because obviously if you're having, you know, got an argument with my boyfriend, or I need to go, you know, put the rubbish out, you know, it's going to have this effect. But if you keep your mind clear, And in my opinion, the best way to do that is through meditation, one point of meditation to keep your mind focused so it's not doing that whole monkey mind thing. And the intention is incredibly important to stay focused on that person, what they've come for, what they're looking for, rather than what you want.
I actually think that illness is when we kind of stop looking after ourselves, either physically or emotionally. And so the body says, you know, don't do that anymore. Look after yourself, whether it means slowing down, eating well, sleeping better, then that's what it's all about. And I think healing is when we do that.
So you can imagine that sound coming up from like the very depth of you, all the way up through your throat, and just releasing it, opening the jaw, and just dropping it down like a stone into the centre of the circle. So it'll be... So don't strain your throat, but just really get it out. So imagine the belly really coming in as you make that sound. You're kind of pumping it out from the lower abdomen. You can have your hands there as well. And opening, expanding as you breathe, and just rising a little more. And continue, really getting that sound. Just closing the eyes. Breathe, opening the mouth as the glow comes out. Sending it right down into the earth. All your deepest pain. Anything you want to let go of.
Right, well, a sound bath. Well, it would be one person generally receiving the sound. That person will lie down either on a treatment couch or on the floor. And then the personal people who are offering the sound will stand around the person, and their faces will be probably just a couple of feet away. They're not necessarily bending close into the person. And they are simply all making the same sound, aiming to use the same pitch and the same sound, and it's just a constant oo tone. And so, you know, when one oo fades out, another one comes in, and so it's this kind of sort of wall of tonal sound, basically. Person is left to rest in the silence for a couple more minutes. This can help draw the person back into their body, because sometimes they've kind of almost gone away into a kind of dream state, and you need to call them back into their physical body, into the here and now. And then they're given time, you know, to collect themselves and maybe speak about their experience.
Masaru Emoto, who created the messages from water and hands, Jenny, for me, Masaru Emoto's work is more important because he works with water and when made up of more than 70% water, whereas Hans Jenne was working with things like iron filings and paste, and it allowed us to visually see how vibration creates particular structures, whether it's dissonant structures or resonant structures, and how sound or vibration affects us. And if it's affecting the iron filings and the paste and the liquids, then it must therefore be affecting us, because we're basically made up of the same structure, but particularly with the water, because we're made up of such a large amount of water that we can see from the outside in how vibration is really affecting us. So I think for me personally, that was much more profound to be able to kind of see that from the words of I love you or I hate you, how they're showing a beautiful structure of a crystallized water drop in I love you, in a very, very dissonant, almost quite ugly kind of water structure of a drop of water in I hate you. I think it kind of says a lot. You don't need to show very much except for those two pictures to explain how vibration, because obviously the voice vibration has a massive effect on us.
Well, the chanting, I mean, the chanting is, it's a way of inducing trance. So, basically, when you sing something that's not got a great deal of notes in and is fairly monotonous and very repetitive, the mind can turn off and, you know, you kind of lose yourself in a way and you come to your sort of inner being self, if you like. So I don't know about the history of sound healing as, you know, how it may have been used in the past. But I mean, like from a shamanic point of view, it, you know, anything I think really that induces a trance can be very, very healing. And so the shamans, when they use a drum, it can echo the heartbeat. And in a way, I think anything that does that, whether it's yoga with its deep relaxation, whether it's meditation, whether it's sound healing, all these things are really just ways of coming back to ourselves.
What sound does, and there has been various different research, it allows people to take them into different brainwave frequencies, which are associated with deeper states of sleep. So I think that anything that's related to stress or tension or insomnia or sleep, or when you can't actually touch the person. But I think also anything to do with not being able to communicate, you know, sound is a communicator. So anything to do with communication, not being able to speak, not being able to voice, or trauma from the past that you can't communicate, I think it's often, I found, it's very good for that kind of thing, definitely.
Well, in the end, it's really for the recipient to have their own experience, and I think the more open the person is to that experience without expectation, as well as the healer, I think the greater the healing can be, and that really any form of healing requires the healer to be a very grounded person, and to be very, very present. So they're totally focused on, you know, giving the healing and being aware and tuning into that person and leaving their insecurities and their ego to one side. So rather than thinking, oh, they want me to tell them about their chakras and, oh, I don't know if I can feel it today, you just calm down, be in the space and listen.